This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Ever wonder about the stories of the women around you?
We wanted to create an intentional space for women to share the wisdom they have gained through life experiences.
Tune in to be in awe of some of the wonder women in our midst. Wondering Women on ORFM Dunedin.
Kia ora everyone and welcome to the next episode of Wondering Women. I am your host today, Amy Armstrong, and I'm delighted to be here with Dr. Jenny Yount from the University of Otago's Zoology Department. Jenny is a senior lecturer there, and we're going to hear today about her journey getting there and a little bit about her research. So welcome, Jenny.
Kia ora. Thank you for having me, Amy.
This is really cool. So do you want to just start by telling us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and your area of research?
Sure. So I, as you might be able to tell from my accent, I'm from the United States. I grew up in the Midwest, so in Wisconsin, which is pretty much in the center of the country, just under the border of Canada.
Yeah.
So you might hear a Canadian accent come out once in a while. I grew up on a farm, on a vegetable farm. I was an only child. Spent my summers in the fields doing hoeing, weeding, planting, harvesting, and, you know, spending a lot of time getting to know lots of really unique characters working on the farm.
Mm.
I mean, my dad was my boss, but that was quite special too, because I got to learn a lot from him.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, kind of being outside a lot every day was a pretty formative aspect of growing up.
Yeah.
But also, you know, unlike most people, when I take time off, I like to then do that inside, because that was special for me. So growing up, I also watched a lot of cartoons superheroes and fantasy and stuff like that. So it's kind of a backwards way of, you know, most kids, you know, their time off, the parents were like, get outside, go do something, where I was just like, please don't make me go back out there.
That's awesome. Where in Wisconsin? So I'm from Minnesota originally, the Twin Cities, but my parents are from sort of central Wisconsin. So where was your farm growing up?
I grew up, the town is Peshtigo.
Okay.
Part of a few cities, just on the border of Upper Michigan and about an hour north of Green Bay.
Oh, cool.
So the northeast.
Lovely. So just for our listeners, this is the first time I've met Jenny, and she was referred to me by one of her students, or former students. So I didn't even know you were from the Midwest. This is cool to hear about.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. So then you grew up on the farm. You loved being outside. You learned a lot about probably nature and ecosystems. And did that sort of inspire you to, how did you end up where you're at?
Well, one of the things, especially growing up as an only child, the things I connected to the most were the pets, the animals in my home.
Yeah.
We always had dogs. I had a cat. Sometimes I had pet frogs, chipmunks, flies, you know, whatever came to my orbit and could fit in a box. I took care of it for a little while. And so that's really just where my connection grew.
Yeah.
And when I was an undergrad, you know, growing up in a small town, I didn't really know what kind of options there might be as far as, you know, going into science. But I knew I needed to get out of the small town. It just wasn't, I didn't fit there. Mm. And so I went to like the biggest college I could find, biggest university, freaked my parents out a little bit. but I was still close enough to be able to drive back and forth to visit, or, you know, when I needed to, which was nice. But far enough away that I couldn't go home, you know, every weekend or anytime something propped up.
Yeah.
And while I was there, initially I thought, oh, I'm going to, you know, I'll go into chemistry. I understood chemistry as a high school student. Chemistry sounds neat.
Hmm.
And I started taking a chemistry class and I was like, this is not for me. I don't want to do this. Oh, wow. And I was fortunate to be working in an advising office on the campus. And so I set up an appointment with one of the course advisors, And as I'm walking to my class, I'm like, what am I going to do with my life? You know, I have no idea. I have no direction. I guess I think advertising is kind of neat. So I thought, well, maybe, you know, figure out that direction.
Yeah.
But literally, like, the day before I went to this meeting, I was watching Disney Channel because that still has not changed. I love cartoons. And there was this there's this TV show on with, you know, real people, which is also something I don't usually watch because cartoons. And this guy was described as an ethologist, as someone who studies animal behavior. And I was really taken aback. Like, that exists? That can be a job? That doesn't seem real.
Wow.
So I put that in my back pocket, and as I'm walking to this meeting with my, you know, with my course counselor, thinking to myself, what if this is real? What if I could do that for my life?
Yeah.
Again, I had no idea half of these jobs existed. And when I went in and sat down with her, I said, I heard this word ethology. I looked it up in the dictionary. It means animal behavior. Is that something I could do as like a major? And she said, not only can we do it, there are all kinds of options for you. Wait till you see all of the classes you can take. And we have specific classes called ethology, ethology lab, primate behavior, animal behavior. I'm like, insect behavior.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. I was like, this exists in this world. This is an option. Like, this is a pathway for me. It was the absolute perfect direction.
Ah, cool.
Based on the fact that, like, I, you know, leaned into the fact that I like cartoons and Disney Channel, you know.
Amazing. What a moment of serendipity for you. Like, it absolutely all came together.
Yeah. So then I, you know, was taking all these classes thinking, okay, well, what do I want to do? And I didn't even know that, you know, anything about grad school. That never crossed my mind. That was never a thing until a few years in. And I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, what kind of animal do I focus on? Where, you know, who do I work with? And I thought I wanted to work with big cats. And I started talking to people and they said, well, if you want to work with big cats or big predators, prepare yourself. You're going to work with footprints and poop. And I actually met some people who research big cats and they're like, I've never seen my animal before. I work with footprints and poop. I'm like, I want to see my animal, right?
Yeah.
I got an opportunity to work in a monkey lab.
And wow.
Cool. And it was kind of like a psychology lab. So I was the one doing like fun little tests and the monkeys got all kinds of treats and stuff.
Wow.
So special getting to know the monkeys. And then I got an opportunity to go to Costa Rica for a summer study course for a couple months. And then I saw monkeys in the wild. And I'm like, whoa. I can't work with animals in a cage. This is too much. I appreciate the work they were doing in the monkey lab, but like, it just wasn't going to be for me. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was working in this primate lab. I really enjoyed it. But like I said, when I was in Costa Rica, I saw these monkeys flying through the forest.
Whoa.
Thinking like, this is amazing. This is so beautiful. I want to see animals doing this.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, well, it can't be, you know, something in the lab. That's not going to really work for me.
Okay.
I tried to study birds.
Yeah.
Birds kept coming away, and it turns out I can't identify a bird to save my life. Although, moving to Aotearoa, I've gotten much better.
Oh, awesome. But good to know where your strengths are and right? Where they're not.
Yeah. So while I was in Costa Rica, I was doing this, like, we had this hike in. It was a couple days project. And I had never really hiked that far before. I had this huge blister on my toe. I didn't want to walk anymore. I was just destroyed, right?
Mm.
And I thought, well, maybe I'll do a project on a plant because it was an ecology summer program. And so I was like, I'll just focus on a plant. Maybe I'll see who comes to visit it, who pollinates it. We expected hummingbirds to visit this plant.
Yeah.
Hummingbirds never came to the plant. Bees did. These big, black, fuzzy bumble type bees kept coming back and forth to this flower. And so here I am in the most beautiful part of the world with the most beautiful scenery, and I have these animals coming to me, and they're coming back and forth. They're doing their thing and then they leave. they let me get within centimeters of them and watch every single move that they made while they were engaging with that flower and collecting nectar and pollen. It was the most beautiful moment. It clicked right there. Wow. This is what I want to do for my life. I want to study bees. I want to study things like this outside. Wow. And that first time I got called the bee lady. And I went back to finish my undergrad. I had an opportunity to take an insect behavior course. So I did. I got to know the professor teaching the class. He hired me as an assistant for a couple of projects in his lab. He hired me as a over the summer as a research assistant studying wasps. And then that went really well. And then he offered me a studentship, a paid opportunity, a scholarship to do my master's in his lab on social wasps.
Fantastic. What university was this at?
The University of Wisconsin in Madison.
Madison. Oh, yeah. Cool. Great. Great school. That's the second time then in your short story here that like you've just had these aha moments where you're like, okay, this bee has come to me. This bee is speaking to me. I need to follow this bee somewhere.
One of the things that I like to, you know, share with my students, cause you know, it's just, you just don't know, you don't know what's out there.
Yeah.
And he is just, it's good to have a path. It's good to have an idea of where you want to go. It's also so important to be open to, you know, listen around you, what else is happening? What could be other possibilities? And I tried a lot of things and they didn't all work out. And it was as valuable to me to know that something wasn't the right path for me as it was to eventually find the right path, you know, and to be able to say, no, this isn't the right path. I need to stop going on this route. And I need to switch gears. And that can be really difficult.
Yeah.
Especially when you've invested your time and yourself into something, to admit to yourself and then to the people around you, this just isn't working for me. I need to do something different.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, I mean, I've known a number of students in postgrad who get into their postgrad program and they're like, this is not right for me. And I need to leave, but it's going to look like I'm a failure. That's just the worst narrative to spin,
because
it's so important to do what's right for you and to leave and to use that time to do, you know, where your heart is and where your passion is.
Yeah.
You know, forcing yourself to stick with a program that isn't right is just wasting your time. It's wasting, you know, and it's just making you miserable.
Yeah. I love that. That is such good advice, because I think, then it's just setting yourself up to be unhappy for the rest of your life, isn't it? Or forcing things that, just aren't really going to
absolutely
excite you.
There were so many times through my postgrad, I would wake up in the morning and I would be just destroyed. I'd be miserable, hated my life, hated postgrad.
Okay.
I'm an idiot. I can't do this. I'm a failure. I'm a fraud. All of those narratives run through my head, run through most scientists' head almost every day, at least at one point.
Wow.
And then I'm laying there in bed thinking, okay, well, if not this, then what? What else are you going to do with your life? And I would think about it. I'm like, no, this is also what brings me the most joy. So I'll stick with it. Growing up on the farm, my mom used to always remind me when we would talk about different careers and paths forward, she would say, whatever you decide to do, Jenny, make sure you love it. Because look around. This is at least a third of your life is working. And if it's something like the farm, it's even more.
Yeah.
You need to make sure that whatever you're doing with your time, and a third of your life is sleeping. So half of your waking time is your job.
Yeah.
Or preparing to get to your job or coming home from your job, you know. Make it count, make it matter. And so this is something that, again, you know, like when I would be this miserable during postgrad, which everybody gets to.
Yeah.
I'd do this thing in my head, like, would anything else make me happier? Mm-mm. And the reality is, no matter how low the lows were, the highs and the personal reward and satisfaction I got out of it always, always, always beat it.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. You're lucky that your mom was so supportive and giving you good advice like that. But also, I think it's helpful for people to hear, especially if young listeners, like, you know, here you are, Dr. Jenny Yount, at the professor, as well, working at a university, and to hear that you had doubts along the way, I think that's really helpful for people to hear that you can push through that and you can still get to a place that's really, really good and still doing good. And yeah, that's
one of the biggest moments when I was doing my PhD was I kept looking around thinking, how does everyone else have their stuff together? How does everyone else seem to know what they're doing? And I just feel like I'm flailing through this and just faking it, right?
Yeah, wow.
And all of a sudden one day we're all sitting down, we're all just, you know, having drinks and chatting. And it, finally some of them started to admit, no, I don't know what I'm doing. You're the one who knows what you're doing, Jenny. You're the one who's got your stuff together. You're the one who's like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't have my stuff together. I'm the mess up over here. And so all of us have been walking around pretending we're fine, but inside we're all struggling.
Yeah.
And because, especially in academia, there's this like unspoken pressure to just look like you're doing well.
Yeah.
To just exude that confidence. And it does, you know, help get you through the day if you can exude. But it can be, especially as a grad student, really, really isolating because inside I am really struggling and look at everyone else. They're doing so well.
Mm.
This is a conversation I have with my students all the time, which is talk to each other because you're all struggling. I talk to all of you and I can assure you there's value in speaking to each other and leaning on each other.
Yeah.
Because it was that day that I started talking, when I started talking more and more and opening up and admitting that I was struggling to my peers, that I felt less alone, that I felt less of a fraud, less of a failure, because we're all struggling. We're all just trying to like get through.
Mm.
And it's just hard. It's really hard to admit that.
Mm. And as you say, it's probably not obviously unique to academia, but possibly feels more prevalent there in some ways, where you're supposed to be the smart one, succeeding, doing good research or whatever. But
getting the A's, getting the grades, getting the scholarships, grants.
Gosh, that's really, I think that's really encouraging for people to hear. Oh, wow. So you obviously pushed through and got that PhD.
Yeah. Yep. And then it took a couple of years to get the next step. And I spent a couple of years teaching. So coordinating some directing. I was the director of some intro bio labs. I did some lecturing. And then I got an opportunity to do a postdoc in Iowa, which was awesome. I spent 3 years just doing research. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Loved it.
On
wasps.
Wasps.
Time. So
okay.
Switching back and forth between wasps and bees the whole time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was looking for a job. I had been applying to so many jobs in the U.S. And I had a rule that wherever I applied to work, it had to be an English speaking institution. I pride myself in my conversational Spanish, but it is not that bueno. So to be in a Spanish speaking institution. And when this job opportunity, when it arose and I realized that it was based in New Zealand, I got so excited because working with wasps starting, you know, back in the early 2000s, I already knew then that New Zealand was home to some of the largest, the highest densities of wasps in the whole world. And that's specifically the beach forest in the Nelson area. And I was like, oh my gosh, if I got a chance to move to New Zealand where they have all the wasps, can you imagine the sample size? My colleagues are jealous of me. They've got all the wasps in New Zealand. You lucky. And nobody else here feels the same way, but wasp researchers do. Also, I'm a little obsessed with Lord of the Rings. So
perfect.
Put those two things together, I was like, this is, and when they flew me out for an interview and, you know, like I said, I'm an only child. It's me and my aunt, but I've got a big extended family, cousins, aunts, uncles, and we're all very close.
Mm.
and I've got a lot of friends back in the US. And so if I was going to make this change to move here, I had to leave everybody behind.
Mm.
I confirmed that I was allowed to bring my cat.
Oh, wow.
I was really worried about that phone call. Do I want them to say yes? And then I have to make the hardest decision of my life.
Yeah.
Do I want them to say no? And I'll be crushed because this really felt like a dream job.
Mm.
The meeting the staff and the other, my colleagues that I'm working with now, I felt so comfortable. I felt so welcome. Walking around the streets of Dunedin made me feel, it felt like I was in the Midwest.
Mm.
Again, it just felt so laid back and low key.
Wow.
So I was really happy when I got offered the position. And I did take a week to make the decision and talk to a lot of people. But at the end of the day, you know, when I talked to my mom too, I worked my whole, you know, almost my whole life for this exact job.
Mm.
And it was the right decision. I miss my family terribly, but it was the right decision.
Yeah, I know. And I think like Kiwis in general are great travelers and they'll pick up and go all over the world. And but Midwest Americans, we have quite a different culture. I don't know if it's because we're locked in the middle of this huge continental mess. And it's a big decision. Like it's like you say, you're leaving.
Yeah, when I moved, I did my PhD in the southwest of the U.S. in Arizona.
Okay.
Just being that far away was complicated. It was difficult to be that far away from my family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long have you been here now?
I've been here 10 years now.
10 years. Wow. And still feeling strong about that decision and...
Oh, yeah. I bought a house and I've just like terraformed the whole yard around the house. There's just... pop-up gardens and fairies and it's chaos and it's flowering. And I just have, it feels so good to have literal roots that I can plant and settle and feel home.
Yeah.
I'm home.
Wow.
And that's really, really important.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, going through, like I said, when I was making the decision to leave, to go to the university, I knew that I couldn't stay in my hometown. I really didn't feel like I fit there. And, you know, and then university and popping around, like those were short-term things and they were nice, but I always knew I couldn't stay there. So having a place that I can establish projects, develop relationships and friendships and create, you know, my found family here and just have something stable has brought me probably some of the most joy.
Wow. That's awesome.
And it's Middle Earth, which who can complain about living here?
And it sounds like you have strong intuition or strong feelings that have led you all the way through your life with study and where you wanted to be and where you didn't want to be and bees coming to you and you knowing that was your path. Like, so
a lot of luck along the way that things ended up where they needed to be, but also, you know, just kind of constantly looking and exploring and thinking and how does this fit with me and is this going to be right?
Yeah. And listening too. I feel like there's listening involved and seeing the signs and hearing the signs and
And I asked a lot of people for advice along the way. So I talk quite a bit about my mom and the advice she gave me. I had a number of advisors and counselors over the years that I've been really lucky to be able to go to them. And even here in the department, a number of my colleagues, I don't hesitate if I have a question or something, making sure I'm, you know, going to ask somebody, is this right? Am I doing this the right way? Should I be feeling this way? Is this working out the way that it should, or should I be doing something a little different? Again, recognize that moment of realizing that you're not alone.
Yeah.
Other people feel this way and other people around you want to help. I think those things have been a really huge, huge aspect to getting me to where I am today.
Yeah. Really just you looking at the community around you, asking the questions and then making your decisions from there. That's really great advice. Oh, look, Jenny, the time is already coming to an end. I've really enjoyed hearing your story, and it really fits the kopapa of this show, Wondering Women, and just hearing the inspiring stories of women and how we get to where we've got to. And people would probably look at you, successful Dr. Jenny Yaunt, and think, oh, she's, you know, don't think that you'd had all these obstacles along the way that you've overcome. So it's really helpful, I think, for people to hear that and to be inspired by that. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for letting me share. I love sharing my story.
That's lovely. And we didn't even get to your current research. Maybe there could be a part two next year to this show and hear about what you're doing.
I would love to share more about my research. It's
okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
It's still being wasps, so spoiler.
Spoiler alert. Well, we will. I'll be in touch and try and get that second episode next year. But really appreciate you taking the time. I know it's a busy time of year and you're a busy woman, but thanks for, taking a half hour out of your day to share some of your wisdom with us around. So, kia ora.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Okay, and thanks everyone for listening. Tune in next time to the next Wondering Women. Ka kite anō.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.